from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, I was in a pretty good mood here up until about 3 minutes ago. Actually, inside of 3 minutes.
Less, probably 30 seconds ago.
30 seconds to a minute as Hoff popped his head inside of our studio and he said it's official, Hartenstein to the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, listen, I certainly don't begrudge him because he's getting almost $30 million a year. It's 3 years. It's almost 90 mil. I get it. He was a highly sought-after commodity. I love what this Knicks franchise is about. Leon Rose, I just have at this point inherent faith in whatever he does, it's going to be the right thing. Jalen Brunson, outside of Aaron Judge, is the biggest superstar in this city. He is amazing. I love the Bridges trade. I love the depth. Knicks have a chance to win a lot of games. The way I see it, and they will win a lot of games. Right now, Sal, in the course of 2 minutes, and I didn't think he was going to stay, right, even though I was hoping for it, the Knicks go from a team that could win a championship to a team that cannot. You and I disagree so much on Isaiah Hartenstein's value for this team, what he does, flow in the offense. All of a sudden, the Knicks, and it's not their fault. He outgrew the contract. He had a big season. Things happen. Without Hartenstein, the Knicks are not a championship team.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Now, I will say that while if I had to choose Mitch or Hartenstein, I would have chosen Mitch. You and I have disagreed about this. And while I always felt like he was going to leave, over the weekend, I felt like, you know what? Maybe there is a chance here because if he leaves the meeting with the Thunder and didn't sign, and then there's some reports that, hey, maybe the Knicks are trying to make this fit and they can figure it out to give him, you know, 17 or whatever a year. However, they could try to get the most, you know, they could offer him and keep it competitive. I started to think, all right, maybe it can happen and he'll take less to come back. However, there's no way the Knicks could go near $29 million a year for Hartenstein. There's no way they should. So they couldn't, and I wouldn't anyway. And I also just don't think he's, like, yeah, he's a nice piece. Let's not overvalue. So for years, it's about, oh, get the superstar, build a, you know, a team that could have perimeter defenders, guards that could put the ball on the floor and score, attack the rim. Now it's about, we're worrying about a backup center and Hartenstein, who doesn't even have a good, like, he's okay at a lot of things. He doesn't even do one thing particularly well. I don't need him to facilitate the offense when I got Brunson and Bridges and Randall back and Ananobi. Like, Hartenstein should be insignificant. He was an integral part of this team this past year, but that's because of the injuries. Nice player. I wish him well. I think the Knicks are going to be fine.
Well, I like that you bring up the word injuries, because get used to it again. Because if Mitchell Robinson's the starting center going in on paper, book it, 25, 30 games, he's not playing. And even when he does play, you know, he is really a liability down the stretch. We've talked about this a lot during the various series and when they lost him. And I think we all like Mitchell Robinson. What he does is more old schoolish for sure.
Right.
And he's got great value.
He also complements the rest of those guys to me.
Robinson does or Hartenstein.
Robinson
See,
does.
That is where we fundamentally, wow. I look at Hartenstein, and he fits like a glove. And I want to be clear about this. Nobody's fault. Like, there's certain things that happen. A player leaves. You undervalue him. The Knicks were in a brutal spot where you just can't expect somebody to leave $12, $13 million a year on the table. And Hartenstein never got paid yet, really, if you think about this. Yeah, he took a two-year deal from the Knicks at least in terms of the NBA world, fairly nominal money. So I don't begrudge him for getting paid. The Knicks did nothing wrong. He just blossomed because he started to play more. And I think what's interesting to me is the Isaiah Hart, like, if you look in totality, before last year, 9 points a game, 5 or 6 rebounds, bounced around a little bit, not a high draft pick, whatever. That is not the Isaiah Hartenstein who has now carved out this really, really meaningful and important, and I think a highly valuable role for this Knicks team. How
would
he
you
fits
have given
the
him,
Knicks?
If they could, would you have given him $30 million a year?
I mean, if they could, here's the thing, though.
Obviously, they could not.
I know what you're saying.
And he had to take the most money. But if the Knicks could go to that dollar amount.
I know what you're saying. I'm not trying to be evasive. Yeah. It's a hard one to answer because if they had the room to do it, let alone the stomach to do it, and I hear you, $30 million is kind of pushing it a bit. But if they had the room to do it, that would probably mean that they had fewer impact players on the roster because the cap would be down.
Right.
And at that point, I'd probably say yes. I'll tell you what this does do. This does change my opinion on what they do with Julius Randle at this point.
Now you
got to keep him.
Yeah, well, but right, that's my see. This is where we have a fundamental disagreement, and I just don't understand it. You value Hartenstein more than you do Randle, whereas Randle is a legitimate player, All NBA, All Star. Hartenstein's a bit player, backup role player. I'm not trying to minimize what he did with the Knicks, and he was important, but he's a backup player.
But he's not. He's the starting center.
Mitch Robinson should have been the starting center, but he got hurt.
Who do you think's better, honestly, Mitchell Robinson or
Hartenstein? I think Mitchell Robinson is better defensively and at rebounding. He's better at his strengths than Hartenstein is at his. What is Hartenstein's strength?
He's the best passer. He's the best big man passer in the NBA.
They don't need...
He's one of the best passers in the NBA.
They don't need that.
They do.
Yeah, well, not with Brunson and
with
Bridges, two
offense,
guys who play on the ball.
Their offense, they do.
Even
that's why they
Randle.
That's why they were so connected last year.
BT.
Hartenstein, man.
You have
a bummer.
You have Brunson. You have Brunson, Bridges, Randle, Ananobi.
I get
when it. When the hell do you want Hartenstein touching the ball? My answer is never.
No, that's the wrong answer.
I don't
never.
Want him touching the ball. Hartenstein, no, thank you. And the reason why I said Mitch compliments him more is because he does something that the others don't. Big body, rim protector, defensive beast, boards beast. That complements the scoring well. I don't need Hartenstein. He's not even a great scorer, but at least he's got more offensive game than Mitch. That's a comparison. Okay, he could pass, and he could throw up that little floater on occasion. They don't need that now with Randle back and with the addition of Bridges.
I don't think it's stunning news, but for me and for my opinion, this is, I mean, devastating is pushing it. Let's not get nuts here, but this one hurts. This one, to me, this one... This knocks the Knicks down a peg. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Man, so set to talk about the Mets and Aaron Judge. And 30 seconds in, Huff opens up the door. And he didn't even seem fazed by it at all. I don't understand how nobody's fazed by this. Did you guys watch the Knicks? Honestly, he's like, it's Hartenstein. You're like, I like Mitch. Hartenstein was so valuable to this team.
How do you value him more than Julius? You do. Like, if I asked you, who would you rather have right now? All things equal, going into next season, contract, whatever, not a concern, Randle or Hartenstein?
On this team?
Yeah.
Hartenstein.
Yeah, I don't get.
I'll tell you why. They don't need the scoring like they used to from Randle. See, a couple things have happened here. And this is not a knock on Julius. He's a fantastic player. He is. He's been all NBA twice. He's a little flawed, as we know, but I've got a lot of love, a lot of respect for him. Very multifaceted player. He is good. Okay, nobody's saying otherwise. But the Julius Randle that was the focal point of the Knicks, along with Jalen Brunson, not only have the Knicks changed, does like the Knicks have evolved, which to me lessens the dependence on Randall, which is a good thing, but also simultaneously, Hartenstein blossomed into a modern big.
One thing I will say, I don't, and I like Jericho Sims a little bit, but he to me is too.
He's a stiff.
Yeah, he's too similar to Mitchell Robinson, and he's not as good.
Yep.
So they need a different type center. I would like a big who could stretch the floor. You want to tell me you want to get somebody who could pass from down low? Okay, fine. But I don't look at this as, oh, no. Like you said, they're not a championship team any longer. I still think they're a championship team. I'd be curious to see what piece they're going to get to fill that void.
Mm.
And we both agree, like, the money's ridiculous. And we understand Hartenstein's a part of it. We understand the Knicks part of it. Where we disagree is I just don't think he's that integral to what this team is trying to do moving forward.
No, we definitely see it differently. There is no doubt. All right, Knicks fans, we knew that this day could come. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Inside of our Town Fair Tire studio, friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Here I was thinking I had to tell everybody that the Mets aren't going to be a playoff team, which is what I was about to say. And I guess I'll have to say that a little later. Yeah. Oh, man. I am, bother's the wrong word.
You were holding out hope.
Ah, man, I have been, how long? Is there a bigger Hartenstein fan than me at the station?
I don't think so.
I'm not saying others don't value him, but I mean, I've been on the Hartenstein train for a long, this guy is a player.
And you might be the biggest Hartenstein fan in the city.
I might be.
Yeah.
I will shoulder that. Like that, to me, that is a badge of good stuff, because that means I recognize what he brought to this team. Man, he's going to be missed. Don't tell me he's not. Zach's in Massapequa. Zach, BT and Sal, how you doing today, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Love the show. Love the conversation right now, too. So, Isaiah Hartenstein, to me, I'm with you, BT. The Knicks are no longer a championship team. I doubt they get back to where they got to this year.
The second round? Come on.
No, I seriously believe that. I think Randall's a loser. I think the possession ends with Randall. I do not see... You know, a guy like Hartenstein moves the ball. He extends possession. He does, and not only is he getting rebounds as well, maybe not as well as Mitchell Robinson, but he is getting them. And then he also extends the play with Julius Randle on the floor. And now you have Mitchell Robinson, who really isn't an offensive threat. There's going to be so many more possessions where it starts with Bridges or it starts with Brunson. It's going to get passed to Randle, and then the possession's done.
No, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too? Thanks for the call there, Zach. So, nobody in their right mind would say that Hartenstein has Randall's skill. Nobody's even remotely suggesting that. But the skill that he's got that is transferable to these big moments late in games is that I just think he's a smarter player than Randall. I think his IQ is higher. I think the anticipatory nature of his game is better. In terms of, you know, where's the ball going to bounce? He's just got this innate sense that Randall doesn't have. And look, if you dump the ball over to Hartenstein and say, all right, go get me a bucket, that's obviously not his game, whereas Randall can do that. But oddly, you know, with 13 seconds left, with 35 seconds left, with a minute 12, two possession game, either way, Hartenstein has the ball or Randall has the ball, and they're trying to initiate. To me, I'm 1,000% more comfortable with Hartenstein. I'm worried with Randall, and I am so calm with Hartenstein. I trust him.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I know, I get it. Not. We're very different on this.
Yeah, the guy's a bad. Like to compare him to Julius Randle. I find actually insulting.
Well, no, but it's a different. It's not a comparison.
You're saying Hartenstein fits better.
Yes,
Randall showed he can pass the ball a lot better. Once the Knicks got Anunoby, they were playing at their peak. Hartenstein is a career backup coming off a career year. Look, he wants to go take more money. So be it. The Knicks couldn't pay him, nor would I ever consider paying him $30 million a year. I think they're going to be fine. Also, you need that less now with Bridges. The Knicks now have two elite guards who play on the ball. They didn't have that before. Oh, by the way, you want to throw in Josh Hart, who can do what Hartenstein did even better. He's just not, he doesn't have the size. So play smaller, but you have a guy that could rebound the basketball, that could penetrate, that could dish and be a facilitator if you need somebody other than Brunson or Bridges.
And let me get Matt in New City. Matt, BT and Sal, how you doing today, Matt? What's going on?
All right, what's going on, boys?
All good.
So, BT, I think you're overvaluing Hartenstein because of all the injuries. I think when Anunoby's healthy, Randall's healthy, all the guys are playing, he's not going to be as big of a focal point of the offense as he was. And I wanted him back. I like him. He's a really, really nice player.
Yep.
He's not a $30 million a year player.
Well, I get that. But, Matt, here's the thing, though. I'm going to push back on the way you just described him. Focal point of the offense. That was the beauty of Hartenstein. He never was a focal point. He would do things without even demanding or requiring the ball going his way. I mean, like, it would just find him. It weren't isolating Hartenstein. It was, all right, here's a little dribble handoff with Jalen Brunson. Set the screen. There's a loose ball. Make it happen. There's a cutter backdoor. You know, there's a little six-foot floater. Like, you need guys like that to win big, who you don't require to throw it into. And now they don't have one.
I'd rather have somebody with an actual offensive game that maybe is not as good of a passer, but is either a better shooter. I mean, period, from anywhere on the floor. Either stretch the floor and knock down a three, or just shoot. The Knicks have two centers, or had two centers, you throw in three with Jericho Sims, who cannot shoot the basketball. It'd be nice to have one of them who could actually put the ball in the bucket. Hartenstein with that little floater was all right. He became way too much of a focal point. He did in the postseason because everybody else got hurt. I think his role will be diminished when everybody else is healthy. Now, you want to say that Anunoby and Mitch, when they've been able to stay healthy, that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming health with Randall as well, assuming health, his role is going to be minimized anyway. So I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact.
Let me ask you a question, Sal. So Leon Rose, who is stunningly mm-hmm. transformed this franchise. Wow. Now you've got to throw out what they were tied to and suspend the reality and the limitations of what they could do. In terms of salary cap, in terms of Robinson already having a contract, in terms of the Thunder offering $30 million, if you asked Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau who they preferred, if they could get rid of one of them,
mm-hmm.
keep Hartenstein or keep Mitchell Robinson, what do you think? I know what their answer is.
Oh,
it's Hartenstein.
I think if you asked Tibbs, you would say keep Mitch Robinson.
Hartenstein without a doubt.
Yeah, see,
they are stuck
it.
With Robinson.
But Robinson does something that nobody else on the team does.
Yeah, it's sit for 40 straight games when he's hurt. Well, nobody else does that.
If you take injuries out of
Sal,
it,
I mean, he gets hurt every year.
Oh, so does Anunoby. Then why do we bring back Anunoby? And why is everybody talking about Anunoby as being so good? That kid's on the field.
Anunoby.
Everybody loves Anunoby. On the court. Anunoby. Oh, what's he getting, Anunoby? $200 million for a guy who can't stay on the court. Hamstring this, leg that. Oh, if it's about injuries, why are we paying Anunoby? So it can't be just about that. Now, you're right. Injuries are a part of it, and they have been for Mitch, and it's concerning because he's a big body, and it's always something with the lower body.
Oh, he looks like he's 90.
Understood.
Walking.
But him at his peak, excellent rim protector and defensive player, and an excellent rebounder. I can only go based off of that. And I do think that ultimately Tibbs would rather have that in, you know, combined with the now other scoring options
mm-hmm.
that they have, where they don't need as much of a. And again, I hate even calling Hartenstein an offensive presence because he's not.
He is, though. But in the unconventional sense, again, not the 17, 18 points a game, but in terms of an offensive presence within the framework of the offense, like initiating and rerouting the ball, which is so important to the Knicks with their shooters and spacing. Man, again, it's nobody's fault. I get it. Knicks kind of. In a lot of ways, the Knicks get penalized here for having an astute evaluation of Hartenstein a couple of years ago and making a very smart move, bringing him here, and then the circumstances of the cap.
They made him a lot of money.
They did, penalizing them, but it's nobody's fault. But that doesn't mean they don't take a big dent. They take a dent. Pete's in Seaford. Pete, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay,
it's been a
while. Pete.
You know, I saw this news right before Hoff said it, and I you know, $30 million is so much money. Clearly the Thunder see Hartenstein as the last piece of a championship puzzle, which he very well may be for them. But, you know, he brought something to the Knicks. Besides just the offensive rebounding and the defense, you know, Tibbs always liked to have that sort of point center presence. He liked it with Joakim Noah back in the day.
Yep.
He tried to do it early in Carl Anthony Towns' career when he was in Minnesota. Towns doesn't really have that skill set. Randall is certainly a good passer, but, you know, and I'm not going to say that Randall's a worse dribbler than Hartenstein is. Obviously, Randall's a better ball handler, but not by much. And I think Randall dribbling the ball a lot makes a lot of people nervous. A couple of calls ago kind of alluded to that. And I think the Knicks are going to miss this guy. $30 million is too much money. There's no way we were going to give that to him, even if we gave him extra years to the same money. That's a lot. And I wish him best in OKC. He was a great guy.
Mitch,
prior to his foot injury, was trending towards a defensive player of the year candidacy. Yeah. I think people forget that because he missed so much of the season. Mitch was an elite offensive rebounder, was having an elite defensive season, and cleaned up all the foul issues that I kind of plagued him early in his career.
And Pete, hold on a second. You're right, by the way, But the offensive rebounding, it was like bordering on all-time defensive player of the year, early inside track, there's no doubt. We know what his game's all about. How long's Mitchell been, Robinson been here? 5 years? Six? What is it now? Five or six, right?
Yeah, he was he drafted by Phil?
Yeah, he may have been. Was that the second round pick? Either way, it's five.
He was a second round pick for sure.
But was it? I know it was second. Was it Phil? Either way, it's about 6 years. Has he had a healthy season yet? No. It's not going to change, and that's the problem. I'm just giving old Knicks fans a little heads up. This because I love Knicks fans. Understand this: when the Knicks look a little different this year, and you're wondering why. Remember this conversation.
Yeah, they're going to be better because they added Bridges and have Randall coming back fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Hardenstein is irrelevant. And come on, to say that he's the best passing big in the league.
Who's better? Ridiculous. Well, I mean, obviously Jokic is phenomenal.
Well, you want to start there? Sabonis. I mean, he's averaging, what, 2 assists a game, Hardenstein?
No, but that's why.
He's got zero offensive game.
That's not accurate anymore, Sal.
Yeah.
What did he shoot in the playoffs? I don't think he missed a floater for 2 months.
He missed it. Where does he rank, Boyle? Do we have it, Hardenstein? We'll come back after the break.
The bottom line is this, and we don't agree, and I get it. It's a lot of scratch for somebody who's not putting up 20-10. Understood. But the Knicks took a dent, and this one is going to hurt. And I'm telling you, it's coming. This is going to change who they are. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Manny takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here on The Fan, certain guys fit, and when certain guys leave, they are going to be missed more than some people think, and that's what I think applies here to Hardenstein. If you didn't see it, now listen, he got paid $30 million, Oklahoma City, but the possession-to-possession influence that this guy had on the game is, I don't want to say it's incalculable, because you could calculate everything, but I look at his hands, I look at his instincts, I look at his IQ. an amazing screener, an amazing passer, high character, high motor. And when Mitchell Robinson's on ice for his customary 30 games, like he will be, book it, like every year, you're going to realize Hartenstein is missed.
See, one thing, though, that I think you're making a mistake on, you're looking at this next year's team as last year's team. They're going to be totally different, especially now without Hartenstein, but it's going to be a totally different team.
Well, can I challenge you on that? Totally different in terms of names, to an extent, but not totally different in terms of concept. The Knicks, like, when it comes to spacing and having a lot of shooters who can shoot high percentages and cross screens and, like Hartenstein's, he's a perfect fit. So I know it's a, listen, Bridges changes a ton. And having Ananobi, hopefully for, you know, he's not going to play 82 games, but 70-ish or so, and you figure out what's going on with Randall.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm not saying I'm not saying there's a dearth of talent.
No, I know.
No, there's a ton of talent, but now where's the glue guy?
It's going to be totally different with those guys.
And that worries me.
Josh Hart's the glue guy. Josh Hart's role will be diminished.
It should be. He can't be playing 35 minutes a night. Right. It's
so,
got to be.
So it's going to
be.
And that's what I mean. Like, last year we got caught up in this Knicks team that played hard. These guys were getting run on the ground. Hartenstein and Harden, everybody else that was able to be out there and be healthy, Tibbs was, you know, getting the most out of them. And they succeeded. They did very well. This is a different team. It's going to be a much more talented team now with Ananobi fully healthy, with Randall fully healthy, and with Mikal Bridges. This is different. This is a different beast right now. They got four legit scoring options in the five starters. Think about that. And then you could have, you know, again, Mitch at some point is going to get hurt. He's like John Carl Stanton. You have to factor that in. They're going to have to get a backup center. Now, maybe they get a guy who could shoot a little bit more than Hartenstein could, and maybe you get a guy who could pass. Maybe he's not as good a passer as Hartenstein was, but they'll figure that out. Like, it's such an insignificant role to me, especially on this team. Last year, you're right. Like, he was an integral part of their success. When everybody else went out, they would not have had that same success without Hartenstein.
Mm-hmm.
But with everybody coming back and the addition of Bridges, this team is not, they don't, I'm not worried about a backup center who can't even shoot, by the way.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, so the games that Mitch is going to miss, all right, so we get that. But what about the games that he doesn't miss when he's healthy and he's going to do what he does incredibly well, incredibly well? You want him on the court a minute to go? I don't. I want Hartenstein.
You're talking about defensively or offensively?
I'm talking about on the court with a minute to go in a one or a two possession game.
If
I don't want him anywhere near a basketball.
I'll take it a step further. If it's under 5 minutes and anybody outside of those big four touch the basketball, the Knicks have failed miserably. Like, don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. Look the other way. Guard your guy. Get underneath the rim for a rebound. Don't even come near the basketball. When you have Brunson, Bridges, Randall, and Ananobi, I don't want Hartenstein or anybody else thinking about touching that thing.
All right, 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show on the Fan. Hold on. So, pause him up.
What do we got, Huff?
We have an alert from Josh Hart. On social media. Well, not an alert, but a note from social media.
Wishing him well.
You are dead to me, Zay. I never liked you anyway, but congrats on the bag.
This is what we're breaking
in
for now?
This is going to be hot. We're going to have to recalibrate this buzzer sound.
What's going on?
Here, buddy. Come on.
Does Loogie do this?
Yes, he does, actually.
Loogie? Oh, Luke, does Loogie do this?
Loogie wouldn't jump into the show like that.
Loogie, the Met Messiah.
The leader of the Met Brigade.
He is the Met Savior. Let's get Adam. Oh, we'll have to circle back to that. Adam's in South Jersey. Adam, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's up, guys? How's my favorite show doing?
What's up, Adam?
All good.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I kind of saw this coming. I knew somebody was going to give them a bag that the Knicks weren't going to be able to match. And I'll say you're both right and you're both wrong, right? You're both right in the sense that, yeah, he's going to be missed. And Sal is right in the sense that he is replaceable. He's not that big. He was good. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I was hoping the Knicks would be a little more proactive.
They couldn't do anything. Like that's why it's a weird spot.
No, what I mean by proactive was expect him to leave and go get like a Drummond. That's what I wanted them to do. Grab somebody to back Mitch up because we know how many games Mitch is
going to miss. Drummond would not be a good fit here because he does the same thing Mitch does.
I agree with
you. You don't need two of those guys. You want one and then you want the other one to be different.
You know what? I don't mind that if they're a little bit different. Drummond has more offensive game than Mitch does. Mm. I trust him a little bit.
I mean, everybody does.
Yeah, everybody, exactly. So, you know, but I will say this. I do trust these guys, just like they did with Hartenstein. Nobody thought he was going to be that good. Nobody thought he was going to contribute the way he did. They got the eye for talent. They are going to figure it out. They will find someone.
Oh, well, listen, Adam, thanks for the call. I trust Leon Rose implicitly at this point. Like, full bore. This is not... Listen, there have been many a conversation, whether it's Cashman, whether it's Joe Douglas neglecting the offensive line, where we zero in Chris Drury, right, with the Rangers recently, where you take criticisms or you take stock of decisions that were made or not made that ultimately, you know, have the situation unravel. This is not that. It's not Leon Rose's fault. Again, if anything, the instincts of Leon Rose and his team to identify Hartenstein and give him 2 years when everybody's like, we didn't know. Was it Hartenstein? Is it Hartenstein? We couldn't even say his name.
Some people still can't.
That's true. I mean, that's no longer our problem. I mean, all you got to do is watch the Knicks and you know it at this point. But you're right. There are some people who still can't. But watching him just shows the versatility and the value. And I know it's not Brunson. I know it's not a top 5 or top 10 or top 20 player, but every championship team has a guy like this. And in my opinion, he's basically irreplaceable for that offense.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he's going to be easily replaceable. Yeah. They'll go find somebody who's available, be like, all right, he can pass a little bit, backup center, take up a few minutes here or there, and then go get him.
Is Herb Williams still active?
Hey,
he hung around for a long time. John's in Queens. John, BT and Sal. What's going on, John?
Good afternoon, fellas. First thing I want to say, love the show. Few shows that actually talk sports. Second point, the Julius Randle slander needs to stop. Julius Randle is going to be a big-time part of this team. I think he's going to be amazing next year. So that's the second point. Third point, love Hartenstein, love what he brought to the team, but I agree with Sal. I mean, he's going to be a loss, but I think it's Nick culture now. I think we'll be able to fit another center in. He'll, you know, maybe not be as good as a passer and a fit, but I think they'll be able to bring another player that can definitely help the team win next year. But,
John, hold on, buddy. Go back to the Julius Randle position that you took, the Julius Randle slander, as you call it.
Yes.
All right. Okay, I feel as if that's more directed toward me. See, to me, it's not... it's all good. I love Julius,
general, but... I don't think you're alone with that.
I'm not. There are many Knicks fans who aren't sure if you can win, if you can trust him late. And by the way, his playoff numbers back that up. But to me, it's not slanderous when you point out legitimate deficiencies. To me, it's slanderous when you say things that aren't true or applicable. And every criticism of Randle is applicable. So it's not slander.
I don't agree, though. He had his head on the swivel last year, right? The biggest issue with Randle was his blow-ups, right? He had no blow-ups last year. He fit perfectly with Brunson, right? I watch every Nick game just like you do.
Me too.
He had no issues last year before he got hurt, and he got hurt on a freak injury.
Yep.
To Sal's point, like, all the times he was in the playoffs, he had little nicks and knacks, so he didn't perform to the way that he should have. But I feel in this team, he's going to... He said everything right. If you looked at all the shows he's been on, he said he wants to win for New York. He's going to give his all. And again, I just feel like the Knicks fans, they don't give him and treat him the way that he should be. I mean, yeah, he has some deficiencies, but look, he does pass the ball, I would say, just as good as Hartenstein. I mean, he averages 4 passes a game.
Randle can pass. No. Yeah. Now, but he's
now that's slanderous against Hartenstein.
Oh, come on. Hartenstein couldn't add on our anniversary here. Happy birthday, WFAN, July 1st, 1987.
Wow, that's
years.
Right.
As Chris Russo would say, Hartenstein is not a pimple on the fanny of Julius Randle. Come on. BT, let's stop. I get that Randle has his flaws, but the guy's an all-star. He's all NBA. Hartenstein's a backup bit player coming off a career year. I don't even think he's going to start with Oklahoma City.
So, Sal, for $30 million, he's starting for Oklahoma City. Look at it this way. And you can debate if 30 is too much. I certainly understand that. But in the climate of the NBA now, I mean, some of this money is just getting absolutely stupid. Tobias Harris, what did he get? 2 years, $60 million? Please, jeez. All right, so... If Randle, and again, it's not about is he good. We're so past that. Clearly, you think he's going to get an extension from the Knicks? His contract's up after this year. He could opt out.
I'm not writing that off that he's not. Again, I think it's more about fit, and maybe Randle wants to take less to be here.
Yeah.
What's the better option right now for the Knicks? Who is it?
I think it's somebody like Hartenstein because it's
well, he's gone now.
No, I know, but this is my first chance to react to it.
Right.
Like, to me... the fit matters in basketball. You know, baseball, yeah, a little chemistry, yeah, all right. But give me 7-8 guys that can rake and you can deal with 2 dead spots, whatever. Give me an old line with chemistry. Like, there's certain things you just need chemistry with. And I'm not saying that Randle kills the chemistry at all. I think on a lot of levels he adds to it. But Hartenstein's impact,
Randle,
I'm going to say this the rest of the day. This guy's going to be missed.
Can Randle play down low?
Yeah.
Can he stretch the floor?
Yes.
Boom!
Can he do it when it matters?
Yeah, well,
So far, the answer is no.
But by the way, we were talking about that in scenarios where he was the number one option and the only option by far. And then when he was the number two option, even as Brunson was emerging, I would say, all
right. About last year with the Heat.
No. Well, I was talking about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, last year. Sure.
And Randle didn't do the job, but he was also banged up. But he was still, at worst, he was the second option for them. He's not anymore. Now he's a third or fourth option.
Okay, do you think that he knows that? It's one thing for us to say. Hey, Julius, you know, and it's a good point, Sal. Hey, the third, fourth option, second team All-NBA, lefty, strong, take it like a bull to the rack, shoot threes. Wow, what an amazing.
You have an open look. You want to go down low.
It sounds great. Does Julius Randle believe he's the third or fourth option? Because that's all that matters for this team.
But let me just give you the equation. Do I believe that I'm primetime radio?
Yeah.
And yet I'm doing midday.
Same here.
So you accept the role that's given to you. You try to make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, but the amount of words that you and I say in a show doesn't adversely impact the rest of the station.
No, but still.
The amount of shots that he takes does.
My point is, Randle, I'm sure, believes in himself as being the number one, just like you or I do.
Mm-hmm.
However, on that particular team, he's now going to be the third best option. That's it. I mean, he's certainly behind Brunson, and I think he's going to be behind Bridges.
Yeah, let's see how he handles it.
Oh, I mean, that's on him.
Understood.
If he doesn't do that and he starts hurting the team chemistry, see, I don't think he will. I think he's a good team guy. I think Tibbs loves him. I think he loves being here. I think he will. He's got to. He showed signs of doing it when they got Anunoby. It's going to be different now with Bridges and Anunoby. But as long as Julius is understanding, he can still be an all-star. He's just not going to be the second option on this team.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Out on Friday, knocking Rodon. I was gonna call in. Rodon, God. But things are turning, Yankee fans.
I was gonna tell you to call him, but then I was like, he's off. Just enjoy your, you know what I mean? I get the feeling. When you're off, you want to kind of be off. But
I almost did. I even sent you my son's text message about he was crushing Booney. I'm like, easy, Cole. We gotta do the card game with Aaron. Anyway, time for the Wendy's Yankees turning point of the game contest. Wendy's is the official hamburger of the Yankees. First one to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game, 866-540-WFAN up in Toronto. The moves they made to that stadium look really nice. Anyway, 866-540-9326. You receive 2 pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game, but it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. It is 10:45 on the Fan. It's BT and Sal with you. Middays, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show, 888-808-1019. Let me just give you a little taste. I mean, Aaron Judge is now on pace for 154 RBIs. My God.
I honestly have never seen anything like it. Seriously, I've never seen anything like it. I sit there sometimes and watch these Met games, especially the Subway Series, with former major leaguers.
Yeah.
Todd Zeal specifically, a very good offensive player, proven in the postseason, terrific ball. Matter of fact, underrated, and especially in the steroid era, when Todd was just clean doing his
thing. Todd was good. I always
liked
Todd.
Very good ball player. Yep. He's like, this guy's got 75 RBI.
No, he's got almost 85.
Well, now, but this is last week. Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
So even former ball players are in awe of what he's doing. This is like, the only thing that it reminds me of, BT, is 2004 Barry Bonds, where Bonds was clearly on PEDs. And by the way, Judge is a better outfielder than Bonds. He's got a better arm.
At that point, for sure.
He's got a better arm. He could play center. He could play right. He's a better leader than Bonds. He's a captain. He holds guys accountable, including himself. He hits with power. He hits for a high average. He can run. Like, this guy, we're witnessing the best player. I can't speak for everybody else. He's the best player I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I don't understand. If you throw him a strike, you need a head examine. He's hammering it if you throw him a strike.
To me, you've said that for a while, and you're not wrong. To me, the most not to get into a debate about this, but just as a point of reference, the most underrated player for me in baseball history has always been Lou Gehrig. Because when you think about, like, when you start running down the names, and all of these are amazing, Ruth and Mays and Mantle and Hank Aaron and Tris Speaker and Ty Cobb and blah, blah, blah. Like, for what, DiMaggio, for whatever reason, it takes a little longer to get to Lou Gehrig. For some reason, young fans, go and look at Lou Gehrig's numbers and understand that the point of references that are being made now with Judge's season to Lou Gehrig's tells you all you need to know.
You know,
insane.
With, you know, I guess the problem is you can't just look at the numbers. So it's about watching them play, right? I mean, that's got to be more about
it. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It's hard to say Gehrig versus DiMaggio for me because I didn't see
those. Me neither. I'm just saying, like, also, you don't really hear.
Okay.
You hear more about Lou Gehrig's speech than what kind of ball player he was.
Right,
it's odd.
Understood. But also, do you think that those numbers are fair to compare in today's game?
They're definitely not. No minorities.
Right.
No lefty specialist or righty specialist starter coming out of the pen. Starters weren't throwing 99 with seven pitches.
Now, the ballparks are smaller. The balls are juiced maybe more. I get it, but
the fielders weren't as athletic to get to balls. Right. No. I'm not doing that at all. But we don't, and we should, we don't provide that context when we say Babe Ruth was amazing.
Right.
Like, so, you know, I mean, it's not, I think Lou Gehrig is, and again, I don't want to get too far off on the, but Lou Gehrig, think about the baseball luminaries, all the great names that either we have seen or we have not seen, but we certainly know that seared in our minds, whether it's a visual or a stat. Lou Gehrig is a guy who gets omitted for oddly, and he's the Yankee. It's not like he played for some, like the Senators. It's just weird to me. And now that Aaron Judge.
Is it because people feel like he wasn't as.
I don't know.
The personality, not like Babe, Mickey, DiMaggio.
That could be it. I mean, he's probably, in the eyes of many, like the fifth or sixth greatest Yankee. I think he's the second. And he might even be the first. But anyway.
Yeah.
The point is, what Judge is doing is crazy. And we will get more to baseball a little later, both on the Yanks and the Mets. But right now, listen, Knicks took a massive dent. And I don't care about the stats. Isaiah Hartenstein, who had himself a great year last year, filling in for Robinson. He got himself paid. Don't begrudge him. But to think that the Knicks will not miss him, no matter what they do, whether it's Wiseman, whether it's Kevon Looney, whatever they do, they'll do something because Leon Rose is amazing. They will not quite be the same next year. That's how much they're going to miss him. Jason's in Stony Brook. What's going on, Jay?
BC, I couldn't disagree with you more. Act like Hartenstein is like Patrick Ewing in his prime.
I'm
with Sal on this one. Sal, you hit it right on the nose. We're going to be fine. We have our core four intact. We have the Nova crew. I don't understand why we haven't brought Kyle Lowry in. I'd add him. I think he'd be perfect for the team.
Yeah.
And if I'm Leon Rose also, why not? What do you mean? Lowry's a veteran. He's cheap. You're not going to have to spend
Yeah, but
too
in
much
what
money.
Capacity? Like, I don't know if I want. I like Lowry. I'm not opposed to it, but right now I'd be focused on a center, not Kyle Lowry. And they got McBride to back up Brunson.
Yep, and the kid they drafted from Marquette. Who I think has Tyler Cola, who has a chance to be really good. But again, I won't get into that now. He's going to be ninth or tenth man to start. Right. I do think it was a very good pick.
So where are we at roster? Have you actually looked at it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so 100%. So now without Hartenstein, is there one roster spot available?
So hold on. Brunson, I don't have it. Brunson, we'll do Randall.
Okay.
We'll do Bridges. We'll do OG. We'll do Josh Hart. We'll do Big Ragu.
Right.
We'll do
Devo.
Mitch. We'll do McBride. We'll do Kolek. Let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 9 right there.
Sims?
No, Sims, I believe there's some sort of qualifier or...
So you might not be back?
I don't think he's assured to be back. When I looked at their finances like 2 days ago... He was not locked in. Oh, well, on one he was and one he wasn't. But then I saw something last night on the NBA NBA Network, whatever they call it. NBA, not the NBA Network.
NBA but
the
TV.
NBA TV, yeah. Thank you. And they had their guaranteed contracts lined up, and Sims was not among them. So either way, they've got a lot of bodies. Listen.
Well, I'm just saying, like, we're talking about really fine-tuning here.
They got a lot of guards. He Polick, needs some big bodies, dude.
And the other dudes are going to stash overseas that they drafted?
He said he doesn't want to be stashed, but he's got no say in the matter. Yeah, yeah, Tom. Go back. We'll call you when we need you, buddy.
Achua's going to be off the roster.
Achua's
well?
Going to be gone. Okay. Yeah, he'll be a casualty. Yes.
I'm just trying to look at some of the other. Alec Burks.
Burks is done.
Okay. Obviously, they traded Bogdanovich. Yeah, and Hartenstein's out. All right, so maybe they have a couple of roster spots.
No, not, well, yeah, I mean, they have a couple. That's true. They have a couple. See, the thing about Kyle Lowry, I love Kyle Lowry, man. You want to talk about starting things at Villanova? He really was he started things. Mike Nardi and those guys. I think he's physically shot.
Yeah, and last year we saw him in the playoffs at the Sixers. Like, I like his toughness. I like
love his
attitude.
Toughness.
I just don't think it's a need. I would have said last year I thought it was a need until I saw McBride emerge.
Correct.
Now I don't think there's a need for that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I'm happy you bring up McBride. Can I just tell you, you've heard the expression playing chess, others. You used it the other day. And then we started going down the Monopoly. Yeah. Okay, playing chess versus playing checkers. This is how locked in Leon Rose is. So remember when McBride, and I remember coming in the next day, I'm like, well, it wasn't a big deal. McBride just signed a 3-year, $13 million extension. That's interesting. I'm sure some of you, I know you know this. I'm not sure all of you realize this. McBride, based on when he was drafted and the bylaws of the NBA, once he signed his extension, he would not be permitted to be dealt for 6 months. So when that popped up on December 30th, it was literally done by design so that he could be dealt on the first day of free agency, or the day before, because, pardon me, on the day of free agency, the starting window.
If needed.
If needed. Now, you heard this, well, maybe you throw him in with the Nets to save side. Nonsense! I want McBride to be a piece of this puzzle. But the fact that Leon Rose was that forward-thinking at that point on a 3-year, $13 million deal for a reserve backup, who at that
which, by
point,
the way, is a freaking steal. Boom,
number one, it's a steal. Right. And number two, tactically, think about what at least puts them in a position to do if you had to deal them.
They are playing chess.
Leon Rose is on it, man. Let me get Mike in New Orleans, BT and Sal. What's going on, Mike?
Nothing. How you guys doing?
Good.
I got a couple points. So first off, I don't think you can deny what Hartenstein did for the Knicks last year in the playoff run and all that. And, kudos to him to signing the big deal. But I'm with Sal here. I don't think he's going to be that missed. I do think Mitchell Robinson, the injuries, concerns and all that, but if Mitch came in healthy with a chip on his shoulder, I think he beats that Hartenstein.
Well, no, hold on, Mike, hold on one sec. Now, he's going to come in healthy. He generally comes in healthy. The problem is what happens after he comes in healthy. But he's going to come in healthy. He's going to be in good shape. He's going to have a great attitude. And he's going to be a good teammate because those are things that Mitchell Robinson has always been. But in terms of refining his game, he is who he is. He is a wretched free throw shooter. He has nothing that even remotely resembles an offensive move unless it's a stick back dunk or an alley-oop. And that ain't changing. So, that's it. Like, he is who he is.
But don't you think it fits better on a team with scores
I don't.
Everywhere
no,
else?
No, not with shooters. Because you're making it seem like Hartenstein needed the ball. Hartenstein went and got the ball.
Right.
That's the difference.
No, but I'm talking about the offensive game. To
I know
me,
what you're saying.
I don't need five guys on the floor who can light it up. Four is great.
Yep.
So that means Mitch, then, okay, well, we don't need offense from you. Just go be the best defender, rim protector, and rebounder that you could be. And
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree again because with certain teams that you're playing, like say if you're playing Denver in the championship or the Celtics in the conference finals or Philly again who retooled, and you can't play 5-on-4.
Yeah,
and when you play Mitchell Robinson, it's 5-on-4.
I'd rather have Mitch trying to shut down Jokic. Now, I know nobody could stop him, but at least with Mitch,
yeah.
You're talking about, I mean, at his best, you're talking about one of the premier defenders, certainly for a big man in the league.
Let me get John and Stony Brook. Talk a little Randall, who factors in here as well. What's up, John?
Hey, BT, Sal, how you doing?
What's up, John?
What's up, Al? What's going on?
Hey. I just want to talk about Randall. I just don't think, BT, you're totally fair with your assessment of Randall. I mean, when you look at his playoff statistics, but the first year that the Knicks made the playoffs, they totally overachieved, and they forced Randall into a point-forward type position, not as forte. We saw him turn the ball over a ton in that playoffs. I just think that you can't really evaluate him fairly. They didn't have the supporting cast. Second-best guy on the team is Derrick Rose.
Yeah, well, that's part of my argument with Randall, John, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, John.
I'm with him, BT, where now, is it,
I don't want to even say convenient because it's the facts, but I can make legitimate arguments for why Randle struggled in the postseason so far. The first year, we both, I think, agreed to even throw it out because he had nobody. I mean, Reggie Bullock was their second best player.
Oh, no, I exonerate him for that.
So let's say exonerate him from the Hawks series that first go-round.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you could criticize him for would be the second year in the postseason, in year three, because they missed it, obviously, the year before that,
yep,
was last year against Miami. Where, not even against Miami, Cleveland. They played Cleveland in the first round, beat Cleveland, then lost to Miami. And Randle was not great in the postseason, but he was also hurt. He had to have ankle surgery.
So I understood.
Is it a combination of two things, him not being a good postseason performer and the injury? Maybe. Could you say it's one thing or the other? Maybe, but we still don't know. This year, we're going to try to get our definitive answer on what Randle could do from regular season to postseason. And we didn't because he got hurt.
Yeah, the context is important, and we've used it, you know.
Right.
I agree with everything Sal just said, mostly. You know, certainly that first series, Atlanta, he had nothing around them. Although I could push back and make the assertion that great players elevate, at least find a way to be decent. I mean, he was awful.
He took a major drop
Sal. Yeah, that is kind of the point. I understand that there's circumstance, there's been injuries, you didn't have a lot around you that first guy. I understood. Don't shoot 26%. Shoot 40%. Like, yeah. Don't have such a precipitous fall where I'm like, whoa, is the second season just not conducive to his skill set? Which is kind of where I am. And maybe that's unfair to Randle. But I think I've been very fair to him thus far. The thing that worries me is that when efficiency is paramount, and that's what it's like in the playoffs, he gets worse. And I'm sorry, I don't think the onus is on me to say, well, next time he's going to be better. At this point, you got to show me. And if he is, I'll respect it. And I'll be bummed because he's a Nick. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. All right. Mets have played 81 games, giving you a little bit of everything. Who are the Mets? And maybe more specifically, where are they going? We'll do that next, BT and Sal.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.